Hey, Bachelor Masters here. And am I thankful on this holiday week? I'm thankful that the show is finally over.
Oh, Craig, for the last like two or three episodes of the podcast, you've been, I've noticed you've been chowing down, I'm guessing, on candy. Now, last week, I officially ran out of candy. And what I did this week was get more candy because they had me. The candy lobby finally got to me.
So you bought post-Halloween candy?
I bought so much candy. I was used to eating candy.
Yeah.
I'm eating candy. I got sour gummy worms. I got chocolate-covered almonds. And that's all I need.
Is that what you're eating right now?
Yeah. I'm following in the Craig post-Halloween.
I don't eat on air.
You did. I maybe did two times.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm. So Caitlin is not with us. She's going to be late, we think. Yeah. It's just a bit of a scheduling confusion. But we'll weather that and get to all the points of this episodes, which I thought kind of sucked, but what else?
Craig. But. Now, we all know that I had a few, I think all my loose and controversial opinions this season kind of came to a, maybe not a satisfying end, but an end and a logical end, because I had a few controversial opinions this Bachelor in Paradise season, if you remember. Some of them are a continuation of the contestant season they were on. Logan hacked the game.
Right.
Michael played the game to make so much more money. Aaron is a hurt person that can't heal through a relationship and refuses to. Right. Tyler and Brittany have class issues. What do you think about? Well, I kind of want to start there because that one was pushed. It was brought up through a comment. The Tyler Brittany thing was, I didn't really want to say much about it as the relationship was happening because I really thought that, like I said, Brittany is stuck up and Tyler, because he's a working man that works.
Oh, right.
Game, I felt like that wasn't going to work out in real life.
Because he owns... games on the boardwalk.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Now it's all coming back to me from last week when we podcasted.
Mm-hmm. And it really does seem to me that it ended that way. Right. She broke up with him through Zoom, trying to convince him that it was a real relationship. And she couldn't even take responsibility for let's call them turnoffs. Although I do think there's deep structural class issues there. and he looked genuinely hurt. I mean, if there's someone that came across as genuine to me, it was Tyler. And every single time he seemed to kind of overplay his hand. I don't know. I mean, he's a good looking guy. He just doesn't get it that... you can't be that to women like this.
You can't be a good looking guy to women like this.
You can't be, let's call it working class guy to women like this.
I see what you mean. Okay. Well, okay. I think we're getting a little ahead of ourselves here.
Mm-hmm.
My head is spinning already. Mm. We just started.
Mm.
Speaking of classist, Kate wrote an apology on her Instagram where she actually used the word classist. She said she's apologized for the classist remarks she made towards Logan.
Well, that in itself is a step in the right direction, but
like, what were your overall impressions of the finales
of Tuesday night of everything?
Yeah, Tuesday night.
Right. I think I kind of said this, that it, to me, none of my, let's call them hypotheses, didn't work out, right? They all kind of worked out in my eyes. I didn't see anything that completely went against what I thought. And I think the reason that's important to note is because up until the end, now, as we've said before, the after the final rose, though, those kind of live stage episodes, mm-hmm. after the final rose, Mantell, all those things are supposed to be these fourth wall breaking moments.
Right.
You're supposed to hear about what happened after or during or like what really happened.
Right.
And everything tracks with what we've said so far, which I thought was pretty interesting. And so if we want to start with Logan and Kate, I want to start with their...
Well, I'm not ready for getting specific yet.
Why not? I think we need to start.
Because my head is spinning. There's just too much too fast. Oh, okay. Tyler and whatever her name is.
Who?
What did you think of Greg Grippo making a comeback?
Oh, I know, huh?
You like him, don't you?
Oh, well, you know what I think of him. I mean, I think he's very good looking, and I think he's a horrible person. I mean, I've thought that
So is Victoria Fuller, so it's a good match.
Yep. They definitely... I think I wrote here that they're all horrible and they all deserve each other. And that includes Johnny to me.
Wasn't that my thesis last week?
That they're all horrible and they all deserve each other?
They're all psychopaths and they all are just intermingling. And it's just one big psychopath show. The only non-psychopath might be Genevieve.
What? You're out of your mind. She's just...
she might not be a psychopath. She might just be too emotional. I don't know.
I wrote that Tyler is the non... he's... But believe it or not...
Because he's a working man.
Despite his, like, obvious...
He's a carny.
Well, he has that... He does not understand that his job has these incredible social implications and assumptions.
Yeah.
But other than that, he's a completely grounded to the ground person.
Yeah.
Right?
who took steroids, by the way, which...
How do you know?
Look at him.
My goodness.
Steroids, you have to go out of your way to find steroids. You don't just buy steroids off of the street dealer. So... Like, where did he find the steroids? Do carnies have special access to drugs? Maybe they do.
I don't know.
Maybe a carny can just go to his other carny friends and be like, you'll give me the juice.
Look, he does not look scary to me. He looks proportional. And
I think he's overly big. But okay. That's just me.
What other things do you want to touch on? Since, how about this?
Okay, hold on. One more. Okay. And then we'll have about this. Aaron, what if... I don't want to be like, ooh, Craig's a bro and he's going to side with the bro. How convenient.
Craig's a total bro. Yeah.
But I'm not a bro. I don't think I'm a bro.
You're no longer a bro because you've been broed out. But that doesn't mean you're like an alcoholic. You're always a bro. You're always going to be a bro.
Right.
Even a 60-year-old bro is a bro.
I need to go to Bros Anonymous.
Yes. What were you going to say?
But I kind of side with Aaron on the whole thing.
Oh, no wonder. Oh, Craig the bro.
I mean, he did the right thing. He sat her down and he told her... He said a couple things that were a little sketchy, but maybe he's not capable of not saying those things. Like when he was like, but you look beautiful. Mm-hmm. So weird. Mm-hmm. You look beautiful today. That makes it even worse. Mm-hmm. I don't know. He sat her down and he gave her a nice, concise, I don't know, word salad. And then,
yes.
And then that was that.
Mm-hmm.
I think he did the right... I mean, how else could he have handled that? That would have been any better.
Okay, Craig, can I start since you're saying this? Okay.
What, you were about to jump into something somehow.
Did Do you think Aaron used Genevieve to his end of appearing good on TV?
The fact that none of them are having sex with each other is really confusing to me. I can't imagine anyone using anyone if there's no sex involved.
You don't think in workplaces people use each other? You don't think in like friendships people use each other?
No, I see what you're saying.
It's not a physical use.
I see what you're saying. Well, so the word on the street is that he has two girlfriends back home, right?
Makes sense.
I don't know if you've been following that.
No, I have not.
And Genevieve tweeted that she didn't know that information during the taping of the live show. Otherwise, she would have brought it up, of course.
Well, let me expand on that then. Aaron uses women.
Yeah.
To his ends. In Maybe. Genevieve's case, to look good on TV. In the women's case, to nurture and mother him in what he didn't have.
Well, I can relate to that.
I think a lot of men who have issues can. I'm just saying that should this person be in the best of worlds looking for love on reality TV? In the worst of worlds, trying to stuff all that emotional baggage at the bottom of his soul and do things on TV to make money. I don't know.
I mean, my mom was nurturing, but she was also like, she had a lot of problems, and I for a long time wanted someone to nurture me.
Yeah, that's a thing. It's a total thing. But the thing is here is that Aaron would never fess up to it. You're fessing up to it now. You've advanced to bro level 3 just with that.
but I never had a girl to nurture me. So,
but you looked for it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that's what Aaron's doing. Whether women nurture him or not, I don't know what his deal is, but that's how he knows to go through life.
Okay.
Is if women aren't fulfilling your goals, you know, your needs, your deep psyche's need to have been a child, and you know, and then you use them up and then you throw them away. Like I said, I don't think this is quite on Aaron. This is on Aaron's childhood.
Why? Okay. Why did he break up with her then?
Well, let's step back from that a bit. Why did he tell her one night, "I love you, here's a rose"?
Right.
The next night. The next day, the next morning, 12 hours later, whatever, hours later. I mean, it wouldn't be easy to break up if that was true, that he loved her and then he cared about her. I think
it was really painful when he was like, when he brought up the friend thing, he's like, and you're great as a friend. It's like, whoa, that's the dagger in the heart, man.
Well, you know, I think it's what we said last week. A PR person told him, go to paradise, stay in a relationship until the end, no matter what.
Right. Well, why would the PR person tell him to break up? Because why wouldn't the answer? Wouldn't the PR strategy always be to stay together and leave the beach together?
No, because he is smart enough to make a breakup make sense.
Yeah, but look at Victoria Fuller.
And it absolutely made sense.
She's like with Greg Grippo now, and she's,
oh yeah, no, I think they've given up. They dove off. They said it themselves. They dove off that deep end. They said, fuck it. I think that's what they said, right? They bleeped it out. Like, let's just go whole hog. Everyone hates us. Who cares? I mean, I think they are, in spite of the PR person doing what they want, Aaron is doing what he was kind of told to do. Break up at the end. Make it make sense. And even at his sit down couch after the final rose sit down, Aaron will always say the perfect thing. He absolutely says the perfect thing every time. That no, I mean, you said Genevieve's face every single time is one of confusion. You totally make sense. Why are you still wrong though? Something is wrong about what you're doing. I just can't quite make it work. And I think she is lost, like, in her honesty. She was hopeful. She said a phrase that was, she's hopeful for what could have been. Yeah, because we all wish, I'm sure Aaron himself wishes he was the man he pretends to be.
Right.
Right? But he's not. He's a, well, he's a hurt person. I mean, that's all, that's the only place I can take that.
Okay, so he's a hurt person. We'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, but I just wish.
Who also is taking steroids.
Yeah, okay.
Where do people where are people finding these steroids?
Coming up with that?
I used to work at GNC.
Oh, right, you did?
Yeah, I did. In Berkeley, of all places. And I would have people come in all the time and be like, dude, where can I score steroids? And I'm like, I don't know. I you could put a gun to my head and I wouldn't know how to get them. So,
well, I don't know how that always ends up being your point of interest, Craig.
Well, he's like, huge. That's why he's like a WWE wrestler.
Is there no way to get huge without steroids?
I think to get that huge, you need a lot of help.
All right. Well, some people are naturally built that way, right?
Not that cut, though. Not that ripped. I don't know. There's a difference.
No one's naturally that.
Yeah.
Looks like that. No one.
I don't think so.
Okay. What about Arnold Schwarzenegger's son? Joseph Baena.
I don't know anything about him.
But, I mean, do you think he's naturally the way he looks?
Could be. Okay. I don't know anything about him.
But he was on Dancing with the Stars I didn't watch one second of it except what you guys sent me. But
well, it's not on TV anymore. You have to have Disney Plus.
He looks naturally, right. But okay, fine. Anyway, look.
Did Gabby win?
I don't know.
She made it to the final. She was going to be on. All I saw was that she was going to be on Good Morning America. So I don't know if that means that they won. I mean, The Bachelorette always wins because they're like fan favorites.
Right, and as you've said, some TikTok person, the person who has a Hulu show, that has millions of followers. Not that that means much when TikTok was a new medium. You just go on there, and you had millions of followers. So
friend of the pod, Rob, he says we should get into TikTok, and I don't fault him for recommending that because it's like. You put something up there, and if it catches on, you get millions of views.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't have the energy to be making little like 1 minute videos that have some sort of ironic twist at the end.
No, I know Vine's ticked. I don't have
the Vine was video. Awesome.
It's the same thing.
No, Vine was 6 seconds only.
How long are TikToks? 15 seconds.
As long as you want.
Oh, I thought there was a time limit. Look, there might be.
Vine was great. I loved Vine.
Okay. You love Vine. Gotcha.
No, now, I loved Vine.
Loved Vine. It's not Vine anymore.
Yeah, that was a tactical error on Twitter's part to get rid of Vine right before the short video revolution.
Yeah. So says Quibi or whatever. Okay. Now are you ready? Now are you ready? Now are you ready? How about Michael and Danielle? You know that I only thought of you.
Oh, no.
This one was too much for me. Let's hear it.
For people like us, finding love and hope is really difficult. But I know we can build a good life with what they left behind. Ah! We accept this, friends.
Oh, my God. That part.
Wait, how did that remind you of me?
Because we We did Bachelor Masters Theater, where you she told him the stupid line from the stupid song, and then he was like, oh my god, that hit me like a ton of bricks. I don't know what he said. So he said, wow.
Oh yeah, wow.
You gotta be like, what? And then he freaked out on her. I mean, he freaked out on us. And it was so stupid. So here they are. Here's the classic business move, though, I think.
There's one thing that I actually keep in my pocket all the time. It's the most important thing I own.
It's so weird. And
what it is a... it's a compass.
It's a big thing to carry around in your pocket.
Bring it with me everywhere.
So did he carry it in his butt when he was a prisoner of war?
On the inside of it, it says, I find you wherever you are. And I can't help but think that this compass brought me to you.
Oh.
In some crazy way. In some crazy place.
What a line.
Yeah.
What a line. That is practical. I know, Mike, I know, and yes, I know, but let's just say I am guessing that Michael is rehearsed. But right. That is the business move of the, let's just say, the Bachelor decade. That right. is excellent move.
Pull out a compass and say, it led me to you.
I think, Craig, honestly, like, I could go on about this. We've gone on about this. Anyone can listen to us. But you kind of summarized it best.
Oh,
when
wow.
you said, okay. Yeah, he had something with Sierra, whatever, and then it fizzled out. And then we talked about how he's a COVID profiteer. He's an opportunist. I mean, so much. Well, really what happened is a blonde walked down on the beach and it was all over.
A fake blonde, it turns out, right?
He's living the life that Logan wishes he could find because he's actually perfecting the formula
right.
for making money off of this. And I know that you must have really thought something when she said this, right?
Danielle, I want to ask you, how has your relationship with them progressed since you left Paradise?
Well, we decided to actually end our long-distance relationship.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
How so?
Well, I'm moving to Akron.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Have you ever heard anyone in the history of the world cheer for that?
Well, here's the thing. This is what's so cool about this. So I met co-host Caitlin in Worcester, Ohio. Okay. Uh-huh. Now I have this little side project that I'm working on where I won't go into details. It's not that important, but I like to photograph certain things.
Oh, certain things. I know about this project. I didn't quite get it.
So there turns out that one of these places that I like to photograph is in Akron. So since I don't drive, I can't just rent a car and go to Akron. But what I needed to be in Pittsburgh. This story has a payoff. I needed to be in Pittsburgh like a week later. So what I did, or like, I should say like 4 days later. So I had somebody give me a lift on their way to the airport in Cleveland. I had them drop me off in Akron.
Mm-hmm.
And I stayed 3 nights and 4 days in Akron, in northern Akron. And then I took the Greyhound bus to Pittsburgh after that was over. So I feel like I know Akron a little bit.
So can we talk about what your little project is just to make it a little clearer?
It's not important.
Do you not want to say it? Or
not on air. No, it's just not important.
Okay.
It's not important to the story, which is that, you know.
What'd you think about Akron?
Would
you move there for Michael?
It's definitely working class. It's a lot of single family homes. that are, you know, well manicured and like, you know, a lot of pride in homeownership. And I was in the northern part, so I don't know the which is not like where LeBron's from. I don't know where LeBron's from, but he's not from the part I was in. I looked that up. But it was cool. I mean, I walked around a lot, and you know, there's like little neighborhood bars on the corner of the street, and there's like houses, and then, you know, there's like a grain elevator sitting on the side, and I don't know. I thought it was kind of cool. It was hotter than hell. I was there in the middle of July, I think. So it was hot and humid. But I don't know. I mean, it was, Akron was, it seemed to be close enough to Cleveland that you could get out of there if you needed to. it was only a 2 or 3 hour bus ride to Pittsburgh.
Did it seem like it was full of grifters and shysters and
like Michael?
Yeah.
Not that I saw, but I didn't really talk to that many people.
I have no real opinion on it, except that he gives, and this is hard to say, he's the one who gives Ohio a bad name.
Right.
To me.
I mean, I'll say this. My overall impression of Ohio, having been to Cleveland, Akron, and Worcester for, you know, a limited amount of time, I'm not like an expert, but is that the economy is just imploded. I mean, there's like closed down businesses everywhere you look, like, you know, empty office buildings, empty, you know.
This was pre-pandemic, you should say.
This was pre-pandemic, yeah. Empty office buildings, empty consumer buildings, I don't know what you call those, empty industrial buildings.
And yeah, but isn't that been the narrative of the Midwest for 50 years?
Yeah, and it's important in Ohio because there's a count, at least until recently, I don't know if this was true in the last election, but there was one or two counties in Ohio that literally decided the president for, you know, how many cycles, how many years. Because it all came down to Ohio being the swing state. It all came down to these two counties being the swing counties of the swing state. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it was very important to know how the economy of Ohio is doing because, you know, everyone votes based on the economy, or at least until this very last election. The economy sucks. Somehow Biden got through it. Biden and company got through it. So. Anyway, that's my little rant.
Okay, gotcha. Well,
you asked, so I answered.
Yeah, I guess I did ask. Look, I'm concentrated on the micro here. The micro Michael. The micro. and I think we agree, right? He saved his I love yous for the stage and for the cameras. Mm-hmm. He is forgiven by everyone who's ever left. There is no Twitter to gauge reaction anymore.
Yeah, but exactly.
We assume he's forgiven by the Sierra fans who said that it was not okay for him to dump Sierra.
Right.
And then just wait for his blonde. I mean, it's
fake
just
blonde.
It's, yeah. It's just so, I'm not the one being cynical. I'm saying that it's so cynical it's so detrimental to base this love story on the fact that this guy wants to keep stealing, you know, running these fake businesses. I don't like that he's, you know. There was a time in Bachelor Nation right before Twitter imploded that he kind of had a bad moment. I'm wondering if Bachelor Nation has forgiven him. As we know, they tend to forgive men so quickly.
Yeah.
So because we don't have a gauge and all I have to listen to is myself and you, we're going to assume
that. It's true. I'm not
really on
Twitter anymore. I'm on Mastodon.
Right. And now I understand Mastodon. And it doesn't sound like you're going to get, it sounds like you are going to get your echo chamber. Everyone's going to get their echo chambers, you know?
Well, no, I don't think so. I think you're basing that on the fact that there's all these different servers.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
but
I am.
I have yet to
Well, I'm saying
I've yet to hold on. Mm-hmm. I don't mean to say, go ahead. I've yet to see how the servers actually put people in different places. The servers to me are like so low level and so inconsequential that they really have no meaning to me.
Well, as I understand it, you can block not just a person, but a whole server group.
Oh, really?
Like, so you'll never hear from those people. If you don't
that
want
could
to.
Be the case. I mean, there's all these things about Mastodon I haven't discovered yet, and the Mastodon app kind of sucks, so
okay,
that could be.
Well, anyway, let's just move on, because I think that as per usual we're going to be on the other side of Bachelor Nation, as per usual, fighting against cultural hegemony, right? We're never gonna they're gonna love people love Michael they'll forgive him. What if Jesse Palmer had come out and said, now, Michael, we've heard a lot of rumors. We heard that during the pandemic, you were selling PPE at extraordinary prices and you didn't actually have the PPE. We heard that you classified your business as a woman-run business and it wasn't.
Hey, Caitlin, based on what you just heard, who are we talking about?
I mean, it's obviously Michael.
What an entrance, Caitlin.
I'm here to talk about Michael specifically. Then I'll go. No, I'm joking.
Keep going, EZR.
Well, we were about to move on, but what we were saying is that Michael is definitely we're assuming that Bachelor Nation has forgiven him. And we're saying I'm saying he's unforgivable. I'm guessing that Craig is agreeing with me. And we're also saying that he had all these prepared things going on these last two episodes.
One thing I was curious about is if you had all already discussed his saying I love you for the first time on stage during the live reunion, because it's very complicated for me. I do think like they like each other. I don't think their relationship is totally fake, but he just comes across as so like so aware of the camera at all times. The fact that he saved that specifically for TV is just like something about it is so like creepy in a way. Like it makes my skin crawl a little bit, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, I've said this on the pod many times before, but I never thought saying I love you for the first time was such a big deal. But it's such a big deal on this show. God. Mm-hmm.
It's always been. Caitlin, now one thing me and Craig were having trouble figuring out is how do we gauge Bachelor Nation's now reaction to Michael? Because we knew that the Sierra fans were going to forgive him. We know that everything he's done is, in their eyes, like okay, and now because the love story has ended in a love story, we can love Michael,
right?
Yeah, I think. Well, one thing that has made them also look not great this past week is that Danielle was on Caitlin Bristow's podcast and she kind of like shit talked Sierra a little bit. And so then Caitlin Bristow apologized for that, but Danielle has not apologized for it. But basically what Danielle implied was that Sierra was not only making too big of a deal over her short relationship with Michael, but that also she was talking about it online so much in order to promote her song that she had released last May.
I love the projection. The projection is Sierra used it to promote herself, which is could also be true, but look inside first before you project, Michael.
Yeah, so there is a lot of, I would say from what I've seen online, most people do like believe in Danielle and Michael's relationship as being like genuine and real, but they're not nearly as popular as they probably would have been if it wasn't for all of these like things coming out, like Danielle saying not flattering things about Sierra on a podcast and Michael's businesses having been talked about and all of that kind of stuff. So I don't think they're like hated, but I think they're sort of in the middle right now where people are like, I don't know what to do with this. they're a successful love story, but like there's all this weirdness surrounding it.
Are you getting your info from Twitter still? We had this debate before you got on.
Some of it from Twitter. I also watch a lot of YouTube videos about The Bachelor franchise.
Oh, you watch YouTubes? That's funny.
I do.
Okay.
I'm still on Twitter. Yeah, I'm still reading the Twitter.
Okay. Because I'm over on Mastodon now. I haven't really opened my Twitter in like a week. Like, detoxing.
Which is saying a lot for Craig, right?
Yeah. Well, okay, what's next?
Logan, Kate. Now, let's start off with the rose ceremony breakup.
Our night down by the beach when we decided we wanted to be together.
Dang, he puts on that voice. Said to me,
like, it's very quiet.
And we've walked through fire together, and it hasn't been easy. And I know I don't always make it easy, but I still believe in that same feeling. I still believe in you and me. So will you accept this rose?
No.
Logan, we have had some unforgettable moments on the beach. But you also told me that I was critical, looked down on you, not warm enough, and stimulated by the trauma. When in reality, those are projections that I feel from you.
Well, projections on the projection on projection.
Earlier, to ask ourselves if we were happy or in love. The answer for those questions for me is no. I know what I want, and this isn't it. So, Logan, no. I will not accept this rose.
Janae liked me for who I was. Kate did not like what I brought to the table, and it tore me up. Because I had nothing I wanted to change about Kate. I was so satisfied with who she is and did not have that returned with anger and disappointment in me. Yeah, it just hurts.
Oh.
I feel like my sense of who I am has gotten a little lost in the process of trying to please this girl who I was really, really into. I don't know where to go from here.
Did you feel he looked totally different during the reunion?
Yes. He's like styling his hair differently, I guess, and that's making all the difference maybe, but yeah, I didn't like the new.
He looks like a Play-Doh version of himself.
Yeah.
Like the hair is longer and he's pushing it behind his ears and it's not, maybe he's growing it out or something. I don't know, but it's not the best look on him, but I laughed so hard watching this speech the first night because you could tell the whole time that Kate thought that she was doing like a hero moment speech. She thought she was like Hannah Brown moving that stand around Luke P.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Like the way it was clearly rehearsed, obviously, but like the way she was delivering it was like, no, I know my worth and I'm leaving. But everything else that we'd seen up until this point, not to mention the projection thing, was just kind of weird to me, that it's like everything bad you've said about me is actually you. And it was like, but that's not really accurate. Logan doesn't have a problem being critical of you.
Yeah. She wanted us to have like a yes girl, like yelling at our TV screens, you deserve more. And
she thought a lot of things.
Right. A lot of us are like, your relation, you know, you came off snobby.
Right.
But I think in the end, it's the cannibal thing, though. You know, they're both throwing each other under the bus once they realize they couldn't trust each other. And I'll show you where that kind of more than anywhere.
I mean, she did say, I want a guy with a big dick. And a big bank account.
Yeah, because she thinks that women at home will identify with that.
Right.
It has nothing to do with what she probably does think that.
You're thinking that they're both still like on the equal plane of like manipulation. I think that she's taking it to a whole new level and he got like lost. He got like outplayed.
No, I don't think Kate is ever capable of truly outplaying Logan, because Logan always has look, men by nature will always win on this show. Men are infinitely more forgivable. Men have a lot more chances to be liked and likable. And I'll tell you when right here. So this is Kate on the after the final rose or whatever, kind of saying, you know, like, yes, I wanted everyone to identify with me.
Right.
I think those concerns, it was my girlfriend in private, something that I never, ever wanted you to hear because, like, I'm for real.
See, I'm for real, meaning like, oh, yeah, you know, I you know I'm a real one.
Like directly to you because it's not even about like the car you drive or what gym you go to. Those were just like things that were symbolic of something deeper that I was feeling, which was that you weren't ready for the type of serious partnership that I'm looking for.
Right there, she kind of like outmaneuver him, but here's how he plays the underdog.
What? 4 years ago, I moved to California with nothing but my car. I wanted to have a career in film. And for a while, I was a scuba instructor. I walked dogs to get by.
He really roughed it out here.
I did whatever I could. And I ended up building an amazing career using a camera. And I'm so proud of that. And it's something that took a long time.
Yeah, yeah, clap. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
He's proud of his career with a camera.
Proud of his career, manipulating other film crews to make him look good on TV. Okay, let's say that. As my like long-term theory goes here, there was definitely manipulation by him of the production, but then he kind of wanted to bring Kate in because you are more valuable as a couple. Kate said, I'm more valuable as me.
Right.
Not true, though. If we want to go small scale, if we want to go what maybe other Bachelor podcasts would say, there is an age-old relationship question that I think our parents did not adequately verbalize to our generation. But everyone hints around. And that is, do you want to struggle together and trust that the person that you started off with is the same person or someone you will like at the end of struggling? Or do you want to come to a relationship fully realized? And I think that's why a lot of people our age are having trouble finding relationships in their early 20s or in their early 30s. That's worth exploring, but they didn't make it about that because neither of them could hold a cohesive narrative together.
Well, they're also like 8 years apart.
Well, but Kate was trying to make it about that, but she concentrated too much on herself to truly make that full circle question come about. Right?
Yeah, I think that makes sense because if she had been phrasing all of these, let's say, concerns about Logan that she said on TV as, I just think maybe we're not in the same places in our lives because I'm in my early 30s and he's in his mid 20s. And like, that's something that I'm worried about in our relationship, right? Then nobody would have called her like a snob or classist or said that she was shitting on him because it's factual that they're just like different ages, you know? But she never phrased it like that. She always phrased it as like, I think of that conversation where she said, you know, I'm a wower. I need to be wow. Like, she just always phrased it as like, I'm a perfect gem who's at the best spot in my life. I need somebody who is like me or better than me. And Logan drives an orange Nissan, so.
Well, I think it's important to, at the very least, if Kate and Logan couldn't pull that together, because I don't think they were actually looking for this question, I think it's important for us to ask that question as a more complex podcast about how generations past, people used to struggle together and hope that they liked the person that they ended up with at, you know, if they got married at 23, Is that the same person at 33? And now, once that struggle part is over, they get married at 33 and hope that who they've become and the things they've gotten used to, they can find someone who also it matches up with those things. Now, what bothers me here is that that seems like a pretty easy thing to state, right? I just did. But I feel like our parents' generation did not state that for us, because in my case, my parents were fully realized and married and met. And some of my friends' parents were not fully realized. So there was so much difference. Like now, I think at this generation right now, the ones who are getting married right now, tend to get married if they choose to at 30 plus, fully realized. That's like 80%, 90% of the relationships I know. Very few get married young and don't know what's going on.
Hey there, have you ever watched a movie or TV show you're certain no one else enjoys? Is there a movie franchise that, despite some lackluster elements, you must consume it in its entirety? Are you tired of folks taking silly media just a little too seriously with their negative reviews? Then you've found the right podcast. Welcome to Bill and Rob's An Excellent Adventure, available wherever you get your podcasts. That's Bill and Rob's An Excellent Adventure, part of the Bridgeburner Podcast Collective. We know you got another podcast to choose
from! I think it could be an interesting relationship showing us what now looks like if Kate had done it correctly, or if Logan was able, would have been able to spin it correctly, or if they could have trusted each other. But they spun it down into a throwing each other under the bus situation. So right. I wish they had taken it there.
Right.
But in that,
but they didn't.
Right, they did not. But in that, we get a little gem from Jesse Palmer, which I laughed and laughed at, because it's like, this guy just got this job.
Logan, I'm sorry, but because Kate rejected your rose,
you're no
longer in a relationship, and because there's nobody left to offer your rose to, your time in paradise has come to an end.
Yeah.
It's like, quick, Jesse, ad-lib something so we can get him off the
make
beach.
It make sense, Jesse. I did not understand what was happening there.
Because A equals B and B equals C, you have to go home.
I thought it would be really funny if Mara hadn't left before the rose ceremony, there would have been a single woman left
right.
Could have offered his rose to. So would Jesse's speech have been like, so Kate has not accepted your rose. Would you like to offer it to someone else?
That would have been funny. Yeah, that would have blown up the whole show if you had given it to Mara.
The whole show's already been blown up. Why would you bring down NC and Mara and someone else, Lindsay, the last week? And people are like, no, we're about to get engaged. What are you doing at a nightclub? You know, like the show makes zero sense for about a week and a half. Okay. Now, Caitlin, we saved for you the Johnny, Victoria, Greg thing. Now I'm guessing this is what you guys were saying was the spoiler. Was there any other spoilers that you guys saw that we did not, that, well, I did not know? I was pleasantly surprised to see a very handsome Greg Grippo.
I knew all along she was with Greg.
Internally, yes. Deep, I mean, internally, Greg is a deep, is an evil, evil man. But he's a good-looking guy.
Yeah, this spoiler I knew about, and I guess the spoiler, I don't think we ever mentioned this, but the spoiler that obviously Daniel and Michael are still together because they were in photographs of Wells and Sarah Hyland's wedding that came out.
What?
Which had taken place after the filming of Paradise, so everyone knew that they were still dating at the end of this.
Mm.
That either they had gotten engaged or they were still dating, but they were together.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's not like a huge surprise, though.
No, it's not. But I think people knew that before the show even started airing. That was like when Michael was dating Sierra at the beginning, I was like, well, that's not who he ends up with, because he goes to this wedding with somebody else.
I see what you mean. Okay.
Yeah, it's the filming is really weird because Tyler was saying that he was getting broken up with Brittany as Rachel's season was airing. And I guess that makes sense because The Bachelorette aired into summer, into like late summer, but it was still very confusing, the whole timing filming.
To answer your question, we knew Greg and Victoria hooked up because they went to Europe together.
And that's what they said.
They were spotted in Italy. Yeah, people took pictures of them in Italy. So it broke then, and then there was like the Nick Viall posting stuff recently.
Wait. Yeah. Say that. Say that. What?
Oh, Nick Viall posted, I think it was on his Instagram, a party, like he and his girlfriend. Are they fiancés? I don't know.
His 20-year-old girlfriend.
Yes, that they were holding together. And I guess the girlfriend is good friends with Victoria Fuller now?
You don't say.
But anyway, they were at this party and she's there with Greg Grippo and she's like kissing his cheek and stuff in the Instagram video, which was posted like 2 or 3 weeks ago at this point. So
that's maybe what Johnny was talking about with the Instagram videos.
Yeah, I think like everyone knew about her and Greg because of not only like Italy and but because Nick Viall has posted about them recently while like not fully being like, this is a video of Victoria. Greg hooking up, but it was like, what a fun dinner party, and then you can like see in the background that they're there together and they're like snuggling and stuff.
Aww.
If anyone is in this franchise, you either choose to be with Nick Viall, Victoria, Greg Grippo, Kaylin Mills Keys,
Chris Souls,
Dean. Well, not, I don't know. I think he's persona non grata, period, because he like murdered somebody or something.
No, but Victoria went and lived with him for a little while.
Oh, yeah, right.
That's true.
Right.
In Iowa.
If you are in that circle, then you are probably a bad guy, one of the bad guys. Like, you know, that this, the, those, that, that grouping makes total sense to me. Yeah. Okay.
Well, you murder somebody, you'd think you'd be part of the bad guys.
Well, I forgot when exactly that took place. I thought she was on his season for a second, but now I remember she was on Peter's season. Okay. Not that Victoria is the most reliable narrator. I don't think she is. But I don't think Johnny is that great either. And she said this, which I thought was obviously she had this ready to say, right?
Not only that, you said you don't cook, you don't clean. Ooh. What do you provide to a relationship?
We both know that's not something I would say, and it did not go down like that.
You know that's exactly what you said.
It's not what I said. When we're joking around about cooking and cleaning, and you say, hey, just so you know, I'm never gonna cook and clean. And I joke around like, oh, what are you going to do? Like
that's not what happened, Johnny.
But it really is. And if anyone knows me, they know I would not demean a person like that or a woman, first of all.
That's a low blow, man.
Well, the thing is, too, is that doesn't she want to have 5 kids? Who is going to cook and clean?
The maid. Don't you know that when the revolution starts, it's going to be between people that have maids and people that don't have maids?
Well, then wouldn't she be out a maid? Because the maid will kill her, like Les Mis or something. Yeah. Okay. Johnny is, in all men on The Bachelor, almost all of them, are smart enough, not smart, but smart-ish. No one on The Bachelor, everyone knows, every man knows that you do not want to disparage any women because.
Right, of course.
He's probably correct that he said it jokingly and she knew to bring it out. Because that's the kind of thing that would get people going, well, who's right or who's wrong? I don't know, but did you hear what Johnny said? And he couldn't quite say unequivocally that he did not say that. She knew what to bring out. And then at the end, it did feel like they, Victoria and Greg both fessed up. They're like, look, yeah, maybe we cheated. Maybe I cheated on Johnny. That's what it sounded like, right? They were kind of like, everyone hates us, so whatever.
Yeah, there was definitely some stuff in, like, when Greg came out and then he started talking about it, there were a few phrases and words he said that was like, hang on, Victoria just told us that you nothing was between you until she was definitively broken up with Johnny. But you said the words, he said the words rekindled, meaning they had something before. And he said within a few weeks of Paradise ending, they were talking.
Right. And Johnny also said something like emotional cheating, of course, makes total sense. Who knows when it started? They're like, we were friends. We've known each other for a year. What does that even mean, right?
Yeah, I also enjoy that, like, a lot of people online were talking about, they were like, wow, it's messed up that Johnny was concerned about Greg, apparently, and literally was like, do you have feelings for this man? And she said, no, there's nothing between us. And then, of course, she started dating him, like, after. And they're like, yeah, that's messed up to be like, it's like that meme of, you know, don't worry about this guy or whatever. And it was like, no, you should have worried about that guy.
If there's any guy in the world you should always worry about is a Greg.
It's Greg Grippa.
Oh, my God. The Greg, not just Greg Grippa, but the concept of Greg Grippa. He is a horrible, sneaky,
are you eating more sour yes, I'm eating gummy more, worms?
Yes, I'm eating sour pears.
I can sense it.
I'm also thinking about Greg Grippo and how good looking he is. And oh, how, God. Yeah, I would definitely be a sucker for that. Okay. Stop.
I thought you were saying I would definitely emotionally cheat on my husband with Greg Grippo.
No. Young me would have definitely cheated on Johnny with Greg Grippo. Okay. But I think I think we all know that Victoria is lying, that Johnny isn't the greatest guy either. Who I do trust in that situation though is Tyler, who came to Johnny's defense. Mm-hmm. They must be good friends. And even though Johnny is not the greatest dude, I know that Tyler probably is standing by the more correct person.
Right.
And you know, Victoria is who she's always been. What I'm concerned about is that, Victoria, if you want to have any number of kids, you have to learn to cook. I'm sorry.
No,
it's
you
like
don't.
Part of the deal. Yes,
no,
you
don't.
Do.
You just hire 24-hour maid.
Maybe Greg Grippo can cook and that'll work out.
You know what? There's
You're not hearing me.
The Instagram. What? Okay, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
There are people who literally have help 24 hours a day.
You can't. No one can afford it anymore, Craig.
Well, that's her. She's going to find somebody who can afford it for her. If she wants five kids and doesn't want to cook or clean.
I can't quite say how an Instagram couple, if they're able to make. I mean, look, Brendan and Piper made it out and are an Instagram couple. So I'm guessing Greg and Victoria could make it out and become an Instagram successful couple. Now, because that workload looks like it's completely shared, 100%, maybe they can figure out a new way of living. And maybe that's why the wave of the future is for that women's work to no longer be as women-y work. But I have to tell you that when you get someone else to do it, they won't do it the way you want to. And at some point you will break.
At some point you're gonna make
just do it.
Yes. Grilled cheese sandwich. Okay.
It's not just that. You'll make it the way you want it. That's why women have women work, not because they like it and not because they love what they do, but it's because they want it the way they want. I want it the way I want it, and I don't want anyone coming into. You know,
and you're
my
speaking
house
for all women.
Differently. Almost. I'm speaking for any woman who wants to have kids. And you know, Victoria is she's like a born again Christian, you guys are telling me, even though we're not seeing that here. She wants to have a lot of kids. I'm on my way to being there. I'm telling her. Yeah, this is obviously not for women. This is for women who have fallen into prescribed gender roles. Yeah.
I was going to say that growing up, my mom does not enjoy cooking and did not do a lot of it when I was growing up. Actually, she worked nights, so my dad was usually in charge of dinner.
Interesting.
Yeah, and she didn't. Always funny to me when people are like, I miss my mom's home cooking. And I was like, I literally don't know what that's like, because my mom did cook on occasion, but she does not enjoy doing it. And it was not very good.
Right.
Did she ever want her like things not like done her way? Did she ever have that?
I don't think she cared much about the food aspect. Like she said or like later on, she knew cleanliness she absolutely cared about. But, like, what food you were eating and when, she was not super concerned about. Like, she was like, I know your father got you pizza most nights. And I was like, yeah, that's accurate. And we loved it.
That's funny.
I think she just sort of gave up on that one because it wasn't something she cared that much about to begin with. But, yeah, she was super strict about cleanliness. Like, we had so many chores growing up with stuff like, you know, you're in charge of laundry and you clean the bathrooms and you unload the dishwashers and stuff like that. And she was very particular right. about how that was done.
Right. Well, I still say that unless the Instagram couple business partnership changes gender roles, which it could.
Right.
You're going to be involved in that.
Okay.
Yep.
Point made.
Mm-hmm. I just know, I also know a lot of women, Caitlin, like your mom, not quite of my generation, honestly, more of my peers' generation, who just wouldn't do it. They would just open up a can of whatever and that's it. And, you know, a can is, or a,
yeah.
a
can of whoop ass.
No, a can of Chef Boyardee or a microwave yeah. dinner. And that, a lot of those kids were, I mean, this is not against your mom or you, but a lot of the kids I knew that were like that kind of were envious of the, like, oh, my mom's been cooking and all this stuff. And so it's kind of I think it's just yeah. different types of.
No, I think it makes sense. Like one thing that I actually really like now that I'm older, really, really appreciate about the way that I grew up and the kind of person my mom is that we were in a particularly prescribed gender roles household. So that was not normal to me. You know what I mean? Like that I sort of grew up in a household where like my mother always made more money than my father. And that was always seen as extremely normal to me, you know? And I kind of really appreciate that as I'm older, that I'm like, oh yeah, I had parents who were not in the same slotted roles that most people in my generation did. And I think it was positive in certain ways. It is funny to me that I'm like, I probably cook the most out of anyone in my family. And I'm not particularly like a fancy chef or anything. But it's just like, it's not something my mom, she still doesn't do it now. Like, she lives with her older brother as her roommate, and he does all of the cooking for their house.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's one of those things that, like, you know, I have a big thing about it because I want to make sure my kids eat the way I want them to. Right. So that's it.
Lots of protein.
Yeah.
Low carbs.
No, but lots of protein and lots of, you know, just I have little I don't like things sitting in plastic if they're hot. That's how minutia I get about it.
So, yeah, it is like interesting because I think it was not the same childhood that some other people have. But there are certain things that I appreciate about it in terms of, yeah, that I never thought it was odd for like a woman to be in charge of the household and like be the. Sort of like my sister's super religious, so I know in her house the man is the head of the household, he makes all of the final decisions, etc. And I was like, that is not the way I grew up.
Yeah, well, yeah, I think that there's a lot of like pull. I mean, I don't think that's how a lot of people grew up, but just I'm just telling Victoria that I don't know how it's going to work out. And Craig, despite what you say, help is not, you can't just throw money at a problem, even if you have the money. It doesn't always work out that way. I think you can
throw money at a problem.
And I don't think she has the money. I don't think they have. I don't even think Instagram or influencer has the money.
You're absolutely right. But they're not going to. This is not going to last beyond a certain number of months or years. She's going to end up. She's going to disappear at some point off the grid, and then she's going to reemerge married to some rich dude. Look at Lindsay Lohan. She's married to like a sheik in Saudi Arabia or something.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, actually, I love that life choice for her. I think that sounds great.
Lindsay Lohan
married to a super wealthy man and being like, yeah, I don't care. I'm going to make Christmas Netflix movies now.
That movie was number one on Netflix, I think.
People are dying to see what she's up to.
I have heard, the review I read said the movie is perfectly average, but that she's actually very good at it.
So there you go. That's what's going to happen with Victoria. She's going to end up with a rich dude, and she can get all the help she needs to cook and clean and have five kids.
Well, she's got a few more years before she's, not a man like that's going to take a woman now, her age. Like, I say that in the rudest way, because that's the way she is used to hearing it in church, right?
Right.
Hurry up, women. Your clocks are ticking. Yeah.
Well, she's a born-again virgin, too. That would help her. You know, she gets the guy that wants a virgin, you know?
Yeah. A virgin that knows so, so much. Do you think she's a born-again virgin with someone like Greg? No. She's not. She's not having sex with that man.
Oh, my God. We don't know Greg's religious stance, I think, at all, right? He's never really talked about that. But his vibe is one of a man who has premarital sex.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't think of that. That's a good point about Victoria and Greg. Okay. My batteries are going dead, so let's wrap this up.
Yep, that's it. Bachelor in Paradise.
It's over. It's finally over.
Thank goodness. Yeah, I think the consensus I've seen on the brief tour of podcasts I've been listening to is that this went on about 2 or 3 weeks too long.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Concur.
I was very concerned with the Monday episode when it started with a Wells recap. I was like, what if this whole episode is just a recap? My God, no.
I fast forwarded through that. I could not relive what we just lived through.
Wells is the worst. He's rid of this guy. He is
What's
the worst.
What's so bad about him?
He's boring and not funny and not interesting, and he has no insight, and he just I can keep going.
Tell us how you really feel.
Well, is there anything good about him? What's good about him?
I don't know. He's good looking and.
No.
Wow. I think he's cute. I think he's a cute man.
If Greg Grippo is good looking, then Wells is good looking.
No, you're looking at this backwards. Greg Grippo is good looking.
I'm not saying he's not.
Mm-hmm.
But if Greg Grippo is good looking, then Wells is also good looking.
No. Disagree.
All right. Caitlin, what do you think?
I think they're both good looking. Greg, to me, is like, I've disliked his personality on TV so much that he gives me like a very slimy vibe. Right. So I'll look at him and be like, gross. You know what I mean? Even though I know he's actually attractive, but something about him is just very off-putting to me.
Before we go, we talked about it before you came on air, Caitlin, but who do you side with in the Aaron Genevieve plot?
Oh, well, you also know, did you talk about Aaron's dating two other people during Paradise?
Yeah,
okay, good. Genevieve posted on Twitter about this. She was like, for people who are wondering why I didn't address that on the live finale, it's because I didn't know at the time that we filmed. I mean, I think Aaron gained some points for his apology on the show. I was on Genevieve's side during their fight. During the breakup, just because the breakup speech he gave on the beach was very funny to me also, where like she's totally silent, so he keeps going, and then after he's like, you look beautiful
today.
I was just like, this is very funny to me. And then he's like, well, guess I'm going to go. And you know, he was thinking like, I got out of that light.
Yeah.
But he didn't, because she came back for it. I think she was correct that the way that that speech went very much sounded like, this is your fault, Genevieve. Like, you're the problem in our relationship, where they were clearly both the problem in the relationship. Yeah. So I was like, yeah, you go back and tell him that he made this sound different than it actually was. So I was kind of on her side there. I just, I don't know what Aaron, I'm sort of like, so I guess this whole thing was completely faked, that he's dating other people and he just wanted to be on TV. So he like, I don't know, picked fights for TV time or something, maybe. I don't know. It's very hard to parse how this relationship made any sense, why either of them was like, this is good, let's stay together.
Right. Okay. Well,
I do have a fashion moment.
Yeah, hit it.
Talk about, which was, I actually really liked what Kate was wearing at the live finale taping.
It was like gray.
It was a gray sparkly one piece like suit, jumpsuit sort of thing with like leggings and big platform heels. So it's black with like little sparkles on it, the whole thing. And I was like,
I love
a jumpsuit. So
I didn't even notice it. I noticed her earrings and that's about it.
Yeah, big earrings. Danielle was also wearing a jumpsuit, but it was like a maroonish color one. I didn't like that one as much.
Okay. I like Jill's cool thing that was like pink
with like
baby pink
accents kind of on it.
It was a great, like, I was on a beach and now I'm on formal wear. Like, there's only one place you can wear that. After the final rose, Bachelor in Paradise.
I thought that was a cute outfit, and who knows what's gonna happen with her and Jacob, but go for it, sure, why not.
Good for her. She got it. She got it all back. I love it.
Yeah.
I,
did you talk about how Kira and Romeo are apparently dating?
No, but it is pretty rude of them to decide that Romeo was scared. Like, they're dating. Leave them alone. Yeah.
His face was very funny, but who knows what that actually meant. It was enjoyable to me that it was like, oh, all your jokes about how she kidnapped him, they are actually together. So.
Right. Of his own free will and volition.
Yes.
And I what was I going to say? Someone about Jacob and Jill, but I'm just,
Jacob was wearing a pearl necklace, the popular male accessory.
Oh, I didn't even see that. Well, I think that Jacob has classic, I don't know what I want thing, where he's just acts impulsively. And there's few men I will make this excuse for, but I think he's one of them. And I think he genuinely regrets, just like he genuinely regretted saying to Gabby, but you're so hot, but you're not my type, or whatever he said.
Right.
Oh, he was rough around the edges guy. That was him.
I think that was Hayden. I don't know who it was.
No, I think that one was Jacob. Wait, that was Hayden. Jacob said he was the one where it was like, if you were the only one left.
Yeah, he's like, here, I'd leave. Or but you're smoking, though.
Yes, yeah. Which is honestly also very funny. Yeah, I kind of think, I think Jacob is a person who doesn't have bad intentions. I think
he just has classic foot in mouth thing.
Exactly. So I don't think he's like a mean person, and maybe they will work together. I think honestly, he saw some of the show and was like, oh my God, Jill was so into me and like so loyal. How did I mess this up? You know?
Right.
Yeah, he has just classic like, let me go back and fix that. And with him, I totally trust it. Whereas with like Eliza, I do not trust it. She's just like, you both were into me. I'm into you, but I can't say I am. Into you, Justin, but I can't say I am. Oh, Justin, you're no longer into me because I couldn't say I was. Okay, Rodney, are you still into me? Oh, okay, bye.
That was bad. I didn't like watching that. I was like, oh no, Eliza, no, don't say that. Justin posted on Twitter about this and said, in Baltimore, like, I was told there had been a mistake made, but tonight I heard the mistake wasn't a mistake. Which is it?
What?
So he's like, as mad at Eliza. I don't know. There was gossip that he flew to LA to hang out with her after the Baltimore thing, and she, like, ghosted him and didn't hang out with him. So,
whoa. I don't know.
Maybe he's mad that about sucks. That now. Yeah, so.
Eliza is so immature. She can't even, they have to one-up each other all the time, all of them. You know, except for Rodney.
Yeah,
they're like, oh,
Again, the perfect man, obviously.
You publicly embarrassed me, so I'm going to get you back for that. Oh, you know, you're not really into me, but you say you are. I'm going to get you back for that.
Yeah. I did see a very fun social media comment. Like, Jill had posted, I think it was on Twitter, a picture of her and Jacob, and was like, when your unique personality becomes right for him, or something like that. And somebody was like, your man was my Lyft driver in Phoenix the other week, and he talked so highly of you.
He's still a Lyft driver.
He's still a Lyft driver.
No. Phoenix.
Oh boy.
Gross. Okay.
Yeah. Phoenix is the worst. Phoenix is like Akron. No, just kidding.
Oh yeah.
Akron. Actually, I don't mind Phoenix itself. I mind Scottsdale. So I take it back. Scottsdale. Gross. Phoenix. You're probably fine, but I'm sorry you got invaded.
I'm going to say, if you're moving to Ohio for a man, I would want him to move to Cleveland at least.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's close to Akron, so you could see the family literally all the time, but it's like a city, and it's got more going on, and Akron's much smaller.
That's what Craig is saying.
Yeah.
Craig and I are united in loving Cleveland.
Yeah. Okay, look, so we get back, I think it's January 20-something.
23rd.
The Bachelor.
Shawcross.
So we get 2 months off, which is good. We need it.
Yeah, and did you see the teaser for Zach's season where Taj Wan is apparently going to come on the show?
Taj Wan, I remember her face. Whose season was she on?
Oh, I think it was...
She was kind
Matt
of
James. I think it might have been Matt James, but she was eliminated early. She's the one who was on Paradise twice, and she dated Trey's uncle and then dated him on the beach.
She tried to date JPJ, but then she couldn't. Right? Is that her? No.
I think so. Maybe. She also has the iconic line that I think about all the time, where she's talking to the camera and she said, "Taj can't pee. Taj can't poop," about being on Paradise.
Oh yes.
That's her. And she is apparently going to try to date Zach Shawcross.
Okay.
That's weird. I wonder why she likes him. Because he is... we'll talk about him.
We'll start a new podcast.
We'll have months to talk about him.
Well, maybe we'll do a countdown episode. We haven't done a countdown in a little while where we do an episode before the season starts.
Where we judge them based on their looks.
Where we judge the contestants
shallow bios.
Based on nothing.
Good idea, Craig.
Love looking at their shallow bios, though, because there's some fun stuff in there.
Okay. I just wonder, just for the record, I like Zach Shawcross. I like him. Okay? So there's my...
Did you like Sean Lowe scrubbing his happy trail area in the shower?
Oh, I didn't see. I thought you said... Do I like Sean Lowe?
No, they brought Sean Lowe on, and it's in the preview for the season where, you know, they show Zach taking a shower, the classic Bachelor shower shot. Mm-hmm. But then they zoom out, and Sean Lowe's in the shower with him, and he's got a little scrubber, and he's scrubbing Zach's belly right in the happy trail area.
Gross. I don't want to know any of that. Okay.
Very weird.
I'm sure there's a point. I'm sure there's some reason. Okay. Okay, Craig.
Okay. Thanks for listening. And we'll see you in a couple months.
We're moving to Ohio. Bye.